Hi, Newstalk's Ciara Kelly here. There is something about summer that makes you want to refresh your home. And for many of us, that starts with the kitchen. It's where the morning coffee happens, where family life gathers, where friends always seem to end up. And after years of wear and tear, it might be time to give it the attention it deserves. So if you're thinking about a new kitchen, Tile Style is well worth a visit, because Tile Style doesn't just do tiles, they also design and supply beautiful kitchens, including the luxurious Porcelainosa kitchen collection. Think high quality, contemporary design, stunning finishes, clever storage, and a look that can completely transform your space. Their expert team can help you plan it all properly with advice and optional virtual design, so you can see how your new kitchen will come together before making any big decisions. And with Tile Style Summer Sale now on, offering exceptional value across the store, it's a brilliant time to start planning with tiles and finishes to perfectly complement your new kitchen. So if your summer plans include creating a kitchen that feels genuine special, start with Tile Style. Visit the Tile Style showroom in Ballymount to see full kitchen displays and finishes up close, or explore more at tilestyle.ie.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the weather being distinctly spring-like over the past few days, you may well have noticed the sound of birdsong is back, particularly crows. Why are they particularly so noisy? Dr. Michelle McKeown is a lecturer in environmental geography at UCC. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
At this time of the year, would your average crow have a lot on? Would they be under a bit of stress?
Well, they're entering a period of intense social activity, and I'm sure lots of people have maybe noticed that they're waking up earlier to crows cawing quite loudly. And maybe not exactly a welcome alarm clock. A bit of a full disclaimer, I'm not an expert on bird behaviour. I write a weekly column in the outdoor section for the Irish Examiner called Environmental Matters. And it was my editor, Caroline Delaney, who suggested a topic. She said to me, the birds seem very active at the moment. And because I work in UCC and have access to all these journals and papers that are peer reviewed, I decided to do a little bit of research into it. And as we're coming out of winter and we're really in the early phases of spring, crows really enter this period of intense social activity. And really, there's a few different kind of issues going on. First one is they're trying to find a mate. And crows are the largest songbird in the world, which I actually only found out when I started like digging into some of the research. And early spring is full of these like elaborate displays of courtship, with males calling loudly to potential mates, showing off their strength and intelligence. And female crows want a partner who can build a solid nest, defend their territory and secure food. So unlike many birds that also kind of pick, move from partner to partner every year, crows are actually monogamous. So I suppose they put a lot of effort into finding the right partner.
Okay, so were they mate for life then?
Yeah, most of them do. They're largely monogamous, yeah.
Okay, and so when they're out there singing, are they looking for female crows and go, listen to me singing, or do they just stay in the one place and then crows go, ooh, I like the sound of that. Show us your nest there, mister. And then he'll bring her back to his place and then it's a done deal.
In a way, pretty much. And they're also highly territorial. So they're cawing because they want to find a mate, but they're also fighting a lot as well. So they're squawking and cawing, and they even enter these kind of confrontations. You'll see even in aerial flight and mid-air scuffles. So they're trying to kind of, I suppose, secure a mate and then actually defend their crow's nest once they find it. But another thing I found that was quite interesting is actually the youngsters from the previous year, they're actually booting them out of the kind of family. It's like a time to move out. So the parent crows start acting aggressively, nudging their offspring from the previous year out. Yeah, so it can actually be a lot going on. So they're trying to find a mate. They're trying to defend their own territory. And they're also trying to, I suppose, move on the kind of previous young crows from the last season.
And presumably the young crows aren't that keen to go. They don't want to like go and stand on their own two feet, maybe get a job, that kind of thing.
Not really, no. Yeah. They're kind of like reluctant to do it because I suppose they've kind of bonded with the kind of parent crows. But yeah, no, the parents start acting aggressively and then they have to, yeah, fight or go find on their own. But it's good for their behaviour as well. So okay, they actually learn to kind of defend themselves a bit more. So it's all right, kind of good.
So even the crows who are settled, who have mated and then they've had kids, but their screaming is getting the kids out of the house. Other crows are screaming trying to find a mate. Other crows are fighting with each other for territory.
God, yeah, there's a lot going on.
That's very stressful, isn't it? I assume it must calm down at some point.
Yes, it does. So we're kind of going to hear kind of most of the noise around this time. And once kind of mates are found and once they've established their territory and the youngsters have kicked out, the noise would start to kind of ease, essentially. So we're kind of really hearing kind of, I suppose, most of the crow activity this time of year.
Yeah. Now, crows are very intelligent.
Oh, they are incredibly intelligent. And I knew they were intelligent. I knew they had altruistic behaviour. But some of this research that I found when I kind of dug into it, it's just incredible. Like even crows seem to have regional dialects, which I found fascinating. Which means that crows in different areas might sound different to one another. And there's been even research that have shown that crows, ravens, magpies can develop these distinct vocal patterns. Like this was depending on their environment. And they're so smart. They're social learners. And these young crows will pick up on the vocal cues from the group. So you can even, if you had an ear for it, you could probably, I suppose some research has looked at, I suppose crows in one area could sound differently to crows in another, which I thought was absolutely incredible.
And do they migrate? Where have they been up till now?
That's a good question. So I suppose they would move as far, I suppose, trying to find suitable habitat, right? So they'd be trying to find kind of nice high trees where they could kind of, I suppose, establish their nest for the coming year.
Yeah. Okay. Do they? But it's in trees. You're not going to find a load of a murder of crows, as they call them, in your house or in the eaves of your house, something like that.
Yeah. There's different prime locations. So they like high up and sturdy trees, safe from predators, near reliable food sources. So a lot of kind of older trees that you find kind of along hedgerows or even in some kind of older forests, even ancient forests, they'll be ideal for crow's nests. And you'll see even in the landscape, if you can see some big trees, you'll see lots of different crow's nests on them.
Yeah. Con from Limerick says that crows can live up to 40 years of age. And after this initial period where they're all fighting with each other, then they can cooperate a bit. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, their intelligence is incredible. Like one of the things I found out was that they actually, they can actually explain, they actually have, they can grasp the concept of zero. So something only that a few species, including chimpanzees and some primates, can do. So there was this study that was published in the Journal of Neuroscience, and it found that crows not only recognize numbers, but can understand the idea of nothing, which I thought was incredibly remarkable and fascinating. And the fact that even some researchers were able to actually be able to study this, I found was just, mind blowing. Like, how do you design an experiment?
Yeah, I was wondering about that, really. Actually, how they go about proving that. Michelle, thanks a million for talking with us today. That was Dr. Michelle McKeown there, lecturer in environmental geography at UCC.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.